spiritual growth is like one of those things that every Christian knows that he needs, but so few of us have a really clear idea of what it is and how to attain it. Hi friends, I'm Caleb Succo and you're listening to the Now is the Time podcast. This is episode number 66. So if you're listening very carefully, you may have noticed that I accidentally said episode 66 on the last podcast, which was actually episode 65. So this is episode 66. In episode 65, I talked about refugees, Syrian refugees, and well, you probably didn't miss that episode because that was my most popular episode ever to date. But today we are talking about spiritual growth. And this is the topic that I picked because, well, actually, one of the main reasons was because we are offering a class on spiritual formation coming up next month. And so I kind of did this in preparation for that class. But I think that it's a really important topic because, like I said at the beginning, I think pretty much every Christian knows that spiritual growth is important. We talk about it a lot. But I also think that a lot of us really have unclear understanding. It's vague. Like, what does that mean? Like, anytime we talk about the spiritual realm, what does that mean? How does it look? How do you get it? So that's what I'm going to be talking with you about in this podcast, as well as what I call some spiritual growth gimmicks, things that really don't work, wrong approaches. So you don't want to miss that. But of course, before we get into it, I just want to share with you a really brief update. And if you missed my video update, I actually yesterday put out a video update of a few ways you can pray for us here in Ukraine, and talked about some things that went on last month and some plans for this month, including our conference, which is coming up next week already. Anyway, I'll put a link to that video update in the show notes for this podcast. Just go to succofamily.org/66. So I won't go over any of those things in this podcast, but I missed one thing in giving those updates in that video yesterday, and that is to ask you to pray for our two classes that are starting next month, our two online classes. One is a brand new class, and that is the Spiritual Formations class. And I have to tell you that I have been working with the translators as we are working through the material for this class, and it is excellent. It is just really kind of blown me away as I've looked at this material on spiritual growth. And so I'm so excited to be able to offer this to our students, to our Russian-speaking students who are, by the way, all around the world. We have them in, I think, 7 or 8 or 9 different countries right now. And so I appreciate your prayers. And here's how you can pray. Pray for the facilitator for that class. His name is Misha. Pray for me. Pray for Misha as we put final preparations into that class this month. We're going to be filming some videos and getting all the text uploaded and into our online format. And then the other class that we're also going to be teaching at the same time is Principles of Bible Study, which is just a real foundational course. And this is the second time we're offering that course. And so pray for us as we get those ready. We're making a number of additions or changes to the Principles of Bible Study course. Every time we offer a course, we go back through it, we update it, we make it better. And this is, you know, we have a number of students that are actually in closed access countries, countries where the gospel is not necessarily welcome. Missionaries are not welcome. And, of course, Bible schools are not welcome. There are no Bible schools in some of the countries where our students live. And so it's just amazing to me how we can open up those doors and those opportunities through online training. So if you want to check out any more about that, I will put a link in the show notes, succofamily.org /66, a link to some more information about our online courses, because we're just continuing to push forward and move ahead, and our students are growing in that program. Okay, so that's just the update I wanted to give you about our online courses. Oh, and I almost forgot, this week we're finishing up our class Old Testament survey. And so we had a good group of students finishing up that class this week, so praise the Lord for that. Okay, so let's talk about spiritual growth. And like I said, it is something that I think we all know we need, but we kind of have a vague idea of what it really is and how we're supposed to find it. And so first of all, before we get into it, I always like to kind of look at, you know, say the negative side of it first. Some problems that I've seen it. And so I call these spiritual growth gimmicks. You know, it's just like if you go into the fitness world, there's so many of these, you know, fad diets and little, you know, exercise pieces of equipment that's all of a sudden going to revolutionize your life. And I saw this one, it's like this just really, really expensive piece of equipment that you're supposed to, I don't know where you put it in your house, because it looks like it would take up three rooms, and it's supposed to in 4 minutes a day, you just use it 4 minutes a day, and it's going to completely exercise all your muscles, and you're going to be healthy. And there's so, I mean, that's just rubbish, honestly. But there's so many of those kinds of things out there, and it's the same thing oftentimes when we talk about spiritual growth. You know, we live in this kind of like, give it to me quick, give it to me now, push button society, drive-through window type of living, that people want these secrets to spiritual growth. They want to grow quick. They want to grow easy. And I find that these spiritual growth gimmicks, they kind of fall into two, I would say, like main categories. The first one is the mysticism gimmick. What I mean by that is those who would emphasize that spiritual growth is all about feeling close to God. And they might emphasize that through just really emotional worship, but there's other ways to emphasize that as well. Oftentimes, just through some sort of asceticism, like, which means like, you know, abstaining from pleasurable things like food, sex, warm clothing, so that you can get close to God. And yeah, the Bible does talk about fasting, but but this would be taking it much further than that. And so, you kind of see that in the monasticism, you know, the monks who would abstain from all kinds of things so that they could grow spiritually. Also, sometimes they have something called reflective or contemplative prayers. You can look those up on Wikipedia if you want to see what those are about. But those things all tend to focus on making me somehow feel close to God. Well, here's the thing. The problem is that our feelings can deceive us. And feeling close to God is not a bad thing, by the way. It's a good thing, but it's not always a true thing. What I mean is you can feel close to God and not be close to God, and you can be close to God but not necessarily feel close to God. So feeling is not something that we strive for. It's nice when it's there, but it's not really an indication of how much we're growing spiritually, nor is it the definition of spiritual growth. In fact, if you talk about these, like asceticism and stuff, you know, Paul warns about that in Colossians 2:20, 23, 1 Timothy chapter 4. He talks about people that, you know, forbid from marrying and say you can't eat these foods and things like that. And he warns, this is not a good thing. So that's the mysticism gimmick, I would call it. And then the next one is what I call the Methodism gimmick. And I'm not necessarily talking particularly about the Methodist Church. They kind of got that name, which, sorry, I kind of got a little cold here, so I'm clearing my throat a little bit. But what I'm talking about when I talk about Methodism is those who promote some sort of a regime, some sort of a method for if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 every day for a month, you know, you are going to end up spiritually mature. So whatever it is, you know, read your Bible 20 minutes, pray 10 minutes, memorize one verse a week, attend your midweek Bible study, and of course, 10 Sunday morning worship. Bam, 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 bam. Okay, I've done it all. I must be spiritually mature. I must be growing. And of course, these types of lists look different depending upon which Christian guru you follow. But here's the thing, that you're mindlessly following some sort of a list of do this, don't do that, and everything. That kind of a thing will never result in spiritual growth. We can't grow spiritually by just doing some sort of mindless practices. And the truth is that some of those things are actually very good. You know, like I said, read your Bible, pray. Those are good things. But when we start thinking that just by our own self-will, by disciplining ourselves and putting the check marks down on the paper, that we can achieve spiritual growth that way, that's when we have deceived ourselves. So, what is spiritual growth really? Spiritual growth, I think simply put, is the process of becoming more like Jesus in our mind, our heart, and our actions. And you can go to a number of different scriptures that talk about spiritual growth. There's just two that I want to mention. One is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, "Be imitators of God. As his dear children, live lovingly just as the Messiah has loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and sacrifice, a fragrant aroma to God." So, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. And then he talks about Christ and what he did. We are supposed to become like him in what he did in his sacrifice, laying down of his life, okay? And then also something Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, where he says, have the same attitude or the same mind as the Messiah, as Christ, Jesus. Again, talking about his humility there. So having the same mind, thinking the same way, having the same attitude, and conforming our life to the way that he lived his life. That doesn't mean you're going to die on a cross, but it means that you are going to conform to the basic pattern, the principles of how Christ lived his life. And it is not just an outward thing. It is a mind, inward, heart thing as well. And so it's really becoming like Christ in those three areas, in our mind and in our heart and in our actions. Now, what does that look like? What does it practically look like? Again, Paul gives us a great example, because when someone does begin to grow spiritually, there will be outward signs of their growing. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What are those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you start seeing those things and you see them increasing in your own life, or maybe even better yet, other people see them increasing in your own life because you are seeking to please God and become like Christ, you're growing spiritually. And those are the outward signs that Paul gives us of the fruit of real spiritual growth. Now, how does that happen? Well, there's a couple of key ingredients. And I don't know if I will have time to really go in depth on all of these. Let's see, we're already about 15 minutes into the podcast. But let's look at a couple of them, and then I'll mention the others, and you can go to the show notes to look at the others if you want to. The first key ingredient to spiritual growth, and I guess I should put it this way. These are things that have to be there, okay? These are things that have to be there for spiritual growth. And some of these things, they might be there, but it doesn't guarantee that you have spiritual growth. But it will guarantee that you don't have spiritual growth if these things are absent. So the first key ingredient, friends, is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says that he may give you according to the riches, that's God, to the riches of his glory by his power to become mighty in the inward man through his Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us life spiritually when we believe in Jesus as our God and Savior. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables, who enables that spiritual growth, who produces that spiritual growth in us. And so if you have not put your faith in Jesus as the only person who can completely forgive you of your sins because he is God and because he died in your place and rose again on the third day, if you have not fallen on your knees before Jesus and said, "I believe," and believe that in your heart, then you need to do that because that's the first step in spiritual growth. And all who do that, the Bible promises, have the Holy Spirit, and thus they have the opportunity to grow. The second really key ingredient, and you find this throughout Scripture, is Scripture. It is God's Word. I mean, you cannot separate spiritual growth from God's Word. It's like trying to separate a very young child from his parents. The Scripture is where we receive instructions from our Heavenly Father. It is life for us because it gives us the truth that we need that will direct our thoughts, our hearts, and our actions. And so that is why Peter is so adamant when he says, be like babies that want milk. They thirst for milk. But you need to thirst for the Word. Why? So that you may grow in your salvation. That is the energy, the substance, that is what the Holy Spirit uses in our hearts to produce growth. And unfortunately, way too often we are going on a starvation diet spiritually. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Consume His Word. So, these two things, the Holy Spirit and Scripture, are vital, of course. And there's one more thing I want to give you. And these are all interrelated, I guess you could say. And that would be prayer. Prayer is also, of course, an important part of spiritual growth. We know that because even Paul, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, he prays for the believers in Ephesus that they would grow spiritually. And we can take that example for ourselves also, knowing that, you know, we should pray for our own spiritual growth. Pray for the spiritual growth of our children, our spouse, our fellow church members, those who we know who are believers. Because God works through those prayers. It's part of the give and take of we intake Scripture and then we talk back to God through prayer. So prayer is an important aspect all as well. And again, as I said, these first three ingredients are all interrelated because the Holy Spirit enables us to pray to God directly without having to go to a priest or anything like that. And it is the Holy Scriptures that inform our prayers, that really help us to even know like what direction to take them and what kinds of things to pray about. And so all of these things really work together. Now, Those things are all sort of dealing very personally with our relationship with God. But I want to talk about a couple more things here that go outside of that personal bubble of you and God. And the next one that I want to talk about is fellowship. What I mean by fellowship is being in a church that has some sort of accountability, that has people who can teach and speak into your life. It is a very vital part that has teachers who are gifted and able to encourage you and exhort you to grow strong. And if you want to, well, there's a number of places you can look for this, but I would look especially at Ephesians chapter 4. You can also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how God gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the building up the body of Christ, for spiritual maturity, for spiritual growth. That's why he gave them, so that they could teach them, so that they would grow, and so that they would serve. Okay? And it goes on, it says, so that they would be full of knowledge, so they would be a full-grown man, so that they would reach a measure of fullness in Christ, and they would no longer be infants. And we have all of this talk about, it's talking about spiritual growth. And which direction do we grow? As we fellowship, we grow towards Christ. We all grow towards Christ, and as we grow towards Christ, we grow towards each other. So, friends, don't think that you can be that, lone range Christian. You need to be in a church. You need to be in a church that can help you grow. And then the other one that really goes along with this too is the idea of service, serving others. And I really like how actually Paul talked to Timothy when he talked about Timothy, the gift that Timothy had given him. And he said, don't neglect it. He said, use that gift. Devote your life to it. And then he says a very interesting thing at the end. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. He says, so that everyone can see your progress. Once in seminary, one of my professors said, chart your spiritual progress over the past year or two. It's like, how could I chart my spiritual progress? That's impossible. I didn't even know where to start. And I think that, I do think that was kind of a bit of a ridiculous request. But here, what we see from Paul is that as you look back, there should be some sort of real evidence that you are moving towards maturity spiritually. There's progress. And progress not only that you can see, but that others can see. And again, we can go back to the fruit of the Spirit, those things that ought to show us that we are growing, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, those types of things. They ought to be increasing. And how can we make sure there's progress? By serving others, friends, by serving others. Because again, like I said, spiritual growth is about becoming like Christ. What did Christ do? He served others. So there's just no way that you can grow spiritually if you are not serving. Because if you're not serving, you're not becoming more like Christ. Where do you serve? Who do you serve? How do you serve? Those are important questions if you want to grow spiritually. All right. And like I said, actually, I just have a couple more here. We'll go over them real quick. So the other two that I have here, one is, well, actually, neither of them are, I guess, that pleasant. One is suffering. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about suffering that produces endurance or patience and character. Now, that doesn't mean that we seek suffering. That doesn't mean that we go out and find it. But it's a life. I mean, we live in a broken, fallen world. Don't worry, you will suffer at one point in time. If you haven't, then you're probably not very old, okay? But we shouldn't just put our tails between our legs and run away when we face suffering. We should view it as an opportunity to grow spiritually. These are the things that God uses to stretch our faith and increase our spiritual maturity. Face them with faith in God, that He knows what He's doing. Face them with the proper attitude, that you know you have a hope that is greater than any of the temporary problems that you're facing. And what do you get? You get spiritual growth. Okay? And then finally, obedience. Obedience, obedience, obedience. We don't like this either, I think it's safe to say. It can be uncomfortable. We want spiritual growth that is soft and warm and comfortable. Sometimes obedience just isn't that. But obedience is a very visible sign of spiritual growth. And I put this one last because it's probably the one we tend to put first. We focus on the outward. But obedience, it increases our faith, because as we obey, and especially as we obey during tough times, during times when we would look at it and say, well, you know, God, that just maybe doesn't seem like the best thing to do now, but I'm going to do what you told me to do. And then we look back and think and see how God worked, and we grow because we see, yeah, guess what? God was right. And so, let's see. The verse here is actually the verse right before the one that talks about desiring the milk of the word so that you can grow in your salvation. That's 1 Peter 2:2. And in verse 1, he says, get rid of every kind of evil, deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, every kind of slander. So what? He's just talking about obedience, just like just plain old, like, obey God's word. Get rid of these evil things. And then what? Desire the word so that you can grow. So obedience is a very important factor, because if you read your Bible in the morning and then you close it and you start ripping into your spouse, or gossiping about the neighbor, or complaining about the kids, you're not growing spiritually. Whatever you just read, it is gone from your, it might still be in your mind, it is not in your heart. Let God's word change you so much that it affects your behavior. It affects your words. It affects how you react to things. And then you can be sure that you are growing spiritually. You know, friends, I think it just comes down to the fact that we need to become like Christ. And if we want to become like Christ, I forgot, there's one last thing here. We need to learn about Christ. And learning from God's word is huge. Old Testament, New Testament, wherever you go. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, he got a little miffed. He got a little miffed that the people he was writing to, they should already be teachers, and yet they still had to go over the basic facts of Christianity. Why? Because they weren't learning. They weren't studying and working hard to understand the truth of God's word. And so if you look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through actually Hebrews 6, verse 1, he talks about it. And he says, you should be teachers. You should already be teachers, but you still need the basic truths of God's word. And he talks about moving on from those basic things, from the elementary teachings to maturity. And of course, that means learning God's word. Are you learning God's word? Are you learning who Jesus is? That's how we find out, through God's word. Well, friends, I hope that you found this podcast to be helpful today. And I sure would appreciate it if you would check out our website, sukofamily.org. You can look at the notes for this podcast episode, sukofamily.org/66. And you can also find out there how to make a gift for year-end giving. We have a number of projects that we're working on really hard this month, and we could use some funds to cover the cost for translations of these courses that we're doing online, as well as some other ministry opportunities that we have here. So if you want to make a year-end gift, I'll also put a link in the show notes to that, sugofamily.org/66. You can find out how to give a year-end gift and still get that tax deduction for 2015. All right, friends. Until next time, be blessed and stay in God's Word. Stay growing. All right. Blessings.